And Jesse, for that beautiful music. Nice to see each one tonight. I'd ask you to turn to your Bibles to, first of all, to John chapter 20. John chapter 20 and verse 30-31. Just want to read that one verse. And I better be done at 7:30. I might even join in that hunt to get that chocolate bear. And then I'll give it to Loudon. He said he'd love it. Sweeten them up. Oh. John chapter 20, reading in verse 30 and 31. These are the main verses, if you will, of the Gospel of John. And I know you already know that. John's Gospel is a beautiful, beautiful book to read. And you know, we see the word faith and believed in this book so many times. So many times. Believe. Look what it says in verse 30 of chapter 20. And this is John, who was the writer, the one who leaned upon the Lord Jesus Christ's breast. He could feel the heartbeat of the Lord Jesus Christ. He could feel the warmth of the one that he came to love and the one whom he emanated in his life. It was a tremendous influence on him because God is love. And he was called the disciple or the apostle of love at the end of his age. Verse 30, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you might have life through his name. And we know what he wrote in the epistle of John, the same writer again, in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, where he says, he is now writing to those who believe, those who are Christians, he says, these things have I written unto you that you may believe in the Son of God and you may know that you have eternal life. Do you know that you, I'm sure you already know that, you can know that you have eternal life tonight. You can know that. And yet there's people today that have doubts in their lives. I had an older sister that had doubts in her Christian life for many years. Did I ask the Lord the right way? Did I have the right amount of faith in believing him? And so on. And there's many people who have struggled with faith and salvation and assurance. And that's what we look at tonight. We're going to look at the word believe. And I've been listening to Jabe Nicholson on YouTube for the last little while, a lot of his messages. And one of them has struck me tonight. And it relates to me because a couple of these passages will even relate to me. I wasn't saved until I was 31 years old. And yet I could tell someone how to be saved. But I was not saved myself. I had a mental assent of who Christ was, what he has done for me. And yet I was not saved. We're going to look at a few passages. And I want you to turn, first of all, to John chapter 3. And we're going to look at the last verse. We're going to see the word, as the word believed, in three different scenarios in chapter 3, 2, and 1. And Jabe tells a story about he was preaching the gospel in a big group like this, or probably a lot larger. And after the meeting, a man come up to him, a middle-aged man, well-dressed and so on, but not because he was well-dressed, but he came to Jabe. He says, can I talk to you for a moment? And Jabe said, yeah, sure. He said, you know, I believe everything you said tonight. He said, I was listening intently, and I agree with everything you said about the Lord Jesus, that he was born of a virgin. He came into the world as a babe in a manger. He lived on this earth for 33 and a half years. He went to the cross and he died on the cross for the sins of the whole world. I believe he died for my sins. And I am a sinner. But I cannot say like you said at the last that you know that you're going to heaven. I cannot truly say that I know him personally. Is there maybe people here today feeling the same way? Look what it says in chapter 3 of John's Gospel. Again, listen to the word believe. We only see two groups in this one verse. Two groups of people, and that's all there is in this entire world. Over 8 billion people in the world. There's only two groups of people. Believers and unbelievers. Doesn't matter race, color, whatever you want to say. Your face or anything else. Only two groups of people. It says this, he that believeth on the Son has everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. That's scary. Two groups of people. Those who believe and they will have eternal life. The results of believing, eternal life. Those who do not believe, and what hovers over them is the wrath of God. And if they die in their sins, they have nothing to look forward to but wrath of God. And we're going through Revelations down in Upton. And my friends, we're in chapter 6. And you don't want to be here when God truly pours out his wrath. And that's not the only wrath, but when you face judgment and cast in the lake of fire. That is terrible. God gives you and I freedom. We go back to the Garden of Eden and we think about, why did God put that tree in the Garden of Eden, that tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Why did he do that? Because God says, I want to give my creatures freedom. I want to give them freedom. Freedom of what? Choice. He says, I don't want anyone in my heaven that does not choose to be there. So he says, I'm going to give them freedom. They can make a choice. And we know that a tree was a knowledge of good and evil. And we know what happened. And of course, we all are under sin because of what the choice was made that day because of Adam and Eve. So we see here two groups of people. I want you to turn back now to John chapter 2. And it says, he that believeth, that the verse we just read, he that believeth on the Son has everlasting life. And he that believeth not shall not see light, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Chapter 2 and verse 23 down to verse 25. Here's another, as if we're a group of people. Listen to what it says. It says, now this is chapter 2. Remember the first part of the chapter, the Lord turned water into wine. And there's seven miracles in the Gospel of John. That's why it's so precious. We read the first verse. There's many more miracles that are not even in this book. But he made seven miracles the Lord Jesus Christ did to show people what? That he was a magic man? No. That he was God manifest in flesh. Because no man could do what he did. He took that water, just ordinary water like that, and in an instant he turned it into absolutely perfect wine. He took something ordinary and he turned it into something extraordinary. And do you know he can do that with you today if you're not saved? And even in your Christian life. Because many people say, well, I'm not a preacher. I'm not doing this and I'm not doing that. We're going to look at Philippians chapter 2 and where the Lord says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That is with reverence and respect for who I am. For it is God who works in you. And what you see there is a process to achieve and a power to receive. God is willing to work in us, but again, a choice whether we want to work with him or not. And he gives us all the elements to do that. He gives us the Spirit of God. He gives us the Word of God. He gives us a whole group of people to work with, to encourage us, to teach us, and so on. And so that God gives us choices to be saved. He gives us choices to live for him. And God has a purpose for everyone in this room tonight. A purpose for you. And he says to work out your own salvation. That is not to for salvation. You're doing good works to get saved. He's talking about, I have saved you. I have given you salvation. Now take that salvation and work it out. What? Develop your salvation. Develop it how? Spiritually. He says, take what I have given you and develop it. With the help, of course, what? Spirit of God who lives within you. We're singing Christ in you. And that is one of the things we're going to look at just in a moment. Because we're looking here at a bunch of people who said they believe. Listen to what it says in verse 23. Now when he was in Jerusalem, that is the Lord Jesus, at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. Look at the next verse. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all mankind. And needed not that any should testify of man or mankind, because that man is a generic term, not just a man, is a woman too. For he knew what was in man. And you say, so what's going on here? He said in the first verse, he that believeth on the Son has eternal life. He that believeth not. Here it says, the Lord would not commit himself to them. You say, well, what's going on here? You see those little words, he did not commit himself? The same root word, commit and believe, the same thing. He did not believe in them. They did not believe in him. Why? What's it say in verse 23? Many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. Is there people like that even today? And I won't tell you a story about me. Yeah. I told you that I got saved at age 31. And I could have told someone else how to be saved. But I was not saved myself. But I always knew that the Lord could do many things. I married my wife, Lorena. She came from a Catholic background. I dated more Catholic girls than I did Protestant girls. And I was brought up in an assembly up in Summerside, just like this. And we got married, and we had children. Kelly's not here tonight, but we had they were 4 and 5 years old, Shane and Kelly. And my wife said, we need to teach them about God. And so she said, I will take them to my church. And I said, no. I said, you go and get in touch with Spurgeon Robbins. I was playing in a band for, this is probably this last year of playing, 8 years. I was not living a life for the Lord, I'll tell you that. My mouth was filthy. I used the Lord's name in vain. I was not a Christian. So people say, well, did you not believe in the Lord Jesus? I did believe in the Lord Jesus mentally, but I was not committed to him. Here it says the word, he did not commit himself unto them. He did not believe in them. Why? Because you know what they're looking for? Something, a temporary fix for a little excitement. Something that they did not have to commit themselves. Let's go to that verse in Revelation chapter 3, an illustration. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. We know it's right after the church of Laodicea. And you want to read that story about Laodicea because it's a picture of the church age. And you know what? We are a church, aren't we? There are 7 churches in chapters 2 and 3. And Laodicea, and what did the Lord have to say about them? He said, you're neither hot nor cold. He said, you're lukewarm. And he said, you know what? You make me sick. I'll spew you out of my mouth. Why? Because they were rich. They were wealthy. They had no need of anything or anybody. And that did not please the Lord. And so we see that verse in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, right following that church. And he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man, woman will hear my voice and will open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. And you say, so what does that mean? Why would the Lord Jesus, if they were his children, they were saved, why would he be knocking at the door? And what does he ask us to do? If any man will hear my voice and will open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. When it says sup with me, does the Lord just knock on our door when we get saved, just a one-time visit? He comes to our lives, our hearts, knocks on the door and comes in and then he leaves? Is that what happens? No, he means when I come in, I want to come in to what? Stay. I want to abide with you and you with me. Isn't that what it means? Because look at the next chapter, chapter 1. Go back to chapter 1. Another account of believing. Look what it says in verse 11 of chapter 1 of John's Gospel. He came unto his own, that is the Lord Jesus, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. He came unto his own. That is his Jewish people. He was born into a Jewish family and his own received him not. When you don't receive someone, what, you turn your hand up or you lock the door or you shut the door. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power or the right or the authority to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. So it's not just believing mentally, it's receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. That's salvation. Receiving him and say, Lord, open the door, say, Lord, come on in to my heart, to my life, to my home, to my everything, and abide with me. Turn to John chapter 15. Just to say what the Lord wants. He wants to abide with us. He wants to abide with you. And then, of course, he wants us to grow in the Christian life. He wants us to develop. And he says, I'm there to help you. Are you willing to work with me? Because everything is a choice for you and I. Will I? Won't I? It says in John chapter 15 and verse 4, he says, abide with in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. He wants to abide with us. He wants to come in. He wants us to open the door and say, come on in. Invite him in and say, Lord, yes, I'm planning for you to stay with me, to live in my life, to be inside. He already has placed us. If you're saved tonight, you have a new life within you. The Spirit of God is right inside of you, ready for action, ready to help you, to lead you, to comfort you, to teach you. He's there. But the Bible says we can grieve him by sin, unconfessed sin, and so on, if we choose to do that. I'll say it again in Philippians chapter 2. God who worketh in you, he's right there, willing to work with you. And the power of God is there to urge you on, to direct you, to guide you, to develop you when we want to do that. So here we see he came unto his own received him not, but as many as received him. So again, we see the whole two groups coming right down through, don't we? We see those who are saved and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we have received him. They have committed their lives. That word commit, again, committed their lives, their hearts, their souls to him. When you get married, you commit yourself to your wife and your wife to the husband. What does that mean? Good thing, isn't it? And now we're talking about the Lord Jesus. And he wants that relationship with you. And fellowship. Sup with them. That is fellowship. First of all, we have to have a relationship. That is, we have to invite him in. We think of those two on the road to Emmaus. And the Lord Jesus Christ, when he came near, they didn't even know who he was. They called him a stranger. He was a stranger of Galilee. After being resurrected from the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he walked with them, they were all downhearted because they were thinking about him. They said, do you not know what the things that happened in Jerusalem? And here is the Lord Jesus Christ walking with them, the one who had been raised from the dead. And what happened? He says, oh, foolish and slow of heart. And when he opened the scriptures, and he started to reveal himself from Moses, from the very beginning, right on through the prophets and so on. What happened? It warmed their hearts. And then when it came to their home, he made as if he was going to go by. But what happens? It said they compelled him. They opened the door and said, come on in. We want you in our home. And he came into their home. And what did he do? He took control of that situation, the circumstance from there on. It says he broke the bread. He gave it to them. And when he did that, he opened his hands, and what did they see? They would see the nail prints in his hands. Now, I would imagine they'd say, oh, my word. Maybe they didn't say that. I would, especially if I didn't know him at first. And it said their hearts were burning within them as he opened unto them the scriptures. That's why we need the word of God. Because that's what salvation is all about. It's believing in God's word, taking God at his word and putting our trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, along with repentance. And repentance is a change of mind. Changing our mind, that old nature. And we have an old nature that's with us. And that's why we have to dwell more, give more time to the Lord. Because if we don't, our minds can be filled with the things of the world. This man included. And it's a struggle. But look at the prospect we have. Your brother Dave, I believe, was speaking on the rapture this morning. Did you know that could happen tonight before this meeting's over? Look what's going on in Jerusalem, in Israel. How close are we? Two of the main wicked countries in the world are already mentioned in the Word of God. One is Iran. Another one is Russia. Of course, there's China and others too. And what's happening right now? You say, oh, well, that could all settle in. It could. But you know what? It could also happen that the Lord, before the tribulation starts, God is going to take his people out of this world. And like we were singing, are you ready to go? Are you ready? Can you say like Paul, I know whom I have believed. I know that in my heart. I know that, not because I'm good or because I carry a Bible to read. You know what? I make sure that I know, and I want God to know, and he knows that I love him. We think of Paul the apostle. You know what he says in Galatians 2:20? I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth where? In me. That is to open the door and let Christ come in. That is committing our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is salvation, truly salvation. That is someone who is willing to say, Lord, I will live for you. I love what you have done for me. I appreciate it, and I appropriate it. I'm coming to the good of what you've done for me, that precious blood that was shed for me. And I'm going to apply that to my life, and I'm going to strive to live for you. Three words I already mentioned before, desire. You've got to have a desire to know the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to have diligence, that is to commit yourself to your best ability to live for him. And you have to have discipline. You have to be committed to the Lord and say, Lord, I will read, I will pray, not out of duty, but because I love you. I love what you have done for me. And that's where people need to get to. And then God can use you. You know what? God has a purpose for every person in here. No one in here that God does not have a purpose for. He has given you gifts, talents, abilities. And there's great works going on here, and that's wonderful. But I'm speaking to individuals or someone who say, I'm struggling, I don't know if I'm saved or not. You can know that you're saved. You can know that. Because you say, Lord, I want to know. And I'm committed to do whatever you ask me. What did Paul say when the Lord struck him to the ground? He said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? I'm willing. And then we hear him, those great statements after he was saved, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. What does that mean? He says, I'm willing to live this life for Christ in any way possible. And we know the persecution and the trials and the stoning and the things that he went through, and yet he could say, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And as in that verse we just quoted, I am crucified with Christ. Crucified with Christ, what's that mean? Crucified to this world. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith, believing in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. There is his appreciation for what God had done for him. And he says, nevertheless, I'm going to live for Christ. I want you to turn, what time is that? Say 20. I don't want them looking for chocolate bars before I'm done. What time is it, sir? Pardon me? Okay, thank you. Turn to a little story in Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. Mark, chapter 5. It's also repeated in Matthew's Gospel and Luke's Gospel, but for time's sake, we can only read it here in Mark, chapter 5. And it's a story in the midst of another story. But it's a beautiful little story. I know you all know it well. As reading in at verse 25, I want you to listen to what we see here. We see the woman's condition. We see her concern. We see her conviction. We see her cure. We see her confession. And we see her comfort. This little story, listen to what it says in verse 25. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, she came in the crowd behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the plague. She knew she was healed. She knew it. And Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that virtue, and by the way, that word virtue means this, it means the healing power of the Lord. That virtue means a healing power of the Lord went out of him. And I'm going to go back to Luke chapter 5 and verse 17. It gives you an illustration that probably a reference in your own Bible. Luke chapter 5 and verse 17, just to verify what I was saying there. Virtue means the healing power of the Lord. Luke chapter 5 and verse 17. Here's another story where the Lord Jesus was in a crowd of people. And we see here in verse 17, and it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching that there was Pharisees, that is religious leaders and doctors of the law, sitting by and were come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. How many of them were healed? Not many, was there? The power of the Lord is present to heal anyone here tonight too. But you're going to notice is this woman, what she did. She had a problem. It was a disease. And anyone who was saved has a disease. I had a disease for 31 years. And that's disease is sin, of course. And it says, and immediately knowing in himself that the power of the Lord or the healing power of the Lord had gone out of him, he turned himself about in the press and he said, who touched my clothes? And listen to his disciples, just be like you and I, we were there. And the disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude? Look at the people around here, they said, thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? Are you silly? How do you know someone touched you? Remember what he said about your hearts way back in John chapter 2? He knew the heart of every man. He knows your heart. He knows my heart. He knows if we're real. He knows where our thoughts, our motives, our intentions. And I don't know, sometimes we forget who he is. He knows everything about us. He knows you and I better than we know ourselves. And that's kind of scary, but it's also very encouraging. It says this, and he looked, look at verse 32, and he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. See, the Lord will turn around and he'll pinpoint you right out. Can't hide from him. Can't hide things from him. He sees us. He knows us. He's omniscient. And it goes on to say this, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. Nothing between her and the Lord anymore. Now, was this woman a silly woman? I'm sure she felt kind of guilty because it says she spent, how many years did she spend? She said she had 12 years with this issue. And it said she had spent all her money going around. And I'm sure it says she heard about him. And you know what? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. She heard about him, but yet she kept on spending her money trying to heal her issue of blood. And kept spending until she had nothing left. And finally, she comes to the Lord. And she kind of sneaks in the back door, as it were. She was probably going to touch his hem and then run away. And the Lord says, I see you. And he knew that the healing power was gone from him. That doesn't mean you can drain God from his power. No, you can't. He knows when someone is saved. And it says that she knew also, didn't she, when she was healed. And my friends, when you're saved, you should know it. You should know it. Because God knows it. And that's why we sing that song. I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Can you say that? There was a story Jabe told about another lady who was at one of his meetings, and she was sitting there, and she went through the whole meeting. She said, Jabe, I believe everything you say. I believe that the Lord Jesus died for my sins and so on, and he's back in heaven. So Jabe said, okay, so you believe everything I said, that the Lord Jesus was born of a virgin. He lived on this earth and he went to the cross and he died for your sins and he died for my sins. And now he's gone back to heaven. And so he died for your sins. Did he take your sins with him back to heaven? She said, no. He said, well, so where's your sins at? Where's your sins? Oh, my goodness, she said. They're gone. And when the Lord sees you, your sins are gone. Where are they gone to? In the deepest sea. As far as the east is from the west, they're gone. He says, I'll forget about them. And he really forgets. So that we can know. That's like this woman. She knew she was healed. The Lord knew that the power of healing went out of him. Does that mean salvation? What does he say at the last? He says, and she fell down and she made confession of her faith in verse 33. And he came, fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy what? Thy faith hath made thee whole. In other words, thy faith has saved you. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. You have been released of your burden, of your issue. Your sins are gone. Now God asks us, do you believe that? If you have truly, sincerely asked the Lord into your heart, and you said, Lord, I'm real. I really desire to be saved. And I will diligently live for you. Do my very best. My best effort. And I will discipline my life. Because with discipline comes along, you know what? We walk more on the straight and narrow instead of getting in the ditch too many times. And the story goes about this woman who touched the garment, his garment. And if you go way back to the Old Testament in Numbers, it was back there that was one of the things the Lord requested of his own people, the Jewish people, those who were his. He told them to put on their prayer shawl or on the cloak they wore on the outside. He wanted them to put a blue ribbon at the very end of the little tassels. You can read that in Numbers, I believe it's chapter 5 in a couple of verses there. And why did he want the blue tassel at the bottom of their prayer shawl? Why did he do that? What would blue indicate to them? Blue is a heavenly color, isn't it? And he says, when you look down, when they were tempted with sin and so on, and things around them were wicked, they could look down and they'd see that blue. And you know what? When they looked down, it made them look up because it made them think about their heavenly Father and who they belong to. And who they were sinned against. And so this woman, we see here touching the garment of the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, we could go to Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2. And it says this, but for unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And that same thing, those wings are the same words, kanaf, which means the hem of his garment. She was a Jewish woman, and she knew the Old Testament. And so she came up behind, because I wondered, why would she touch the hem of his garment? And there was healing, power, when she touched the hem of his garment. Malachi chapter 4, this prophecy of the Messiah from Malachi was fulfilled when the woman who had the issue of blood touched the hem of his garment. The word wings in Hebrew is kanaf, K-A-N-A-P-H, and can be translated corner or skirt as well as the wings. The knots of the tassels of the corners of the wings of the prayer shawl. And she reached out and touched the hem of his garment. Finally, after she spent all, she came to the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, she heard about the Lord. It says she heard, and faith comes by hearing. And she came to the Lord Jesus Christ. He that cometh unto me, I will no wise cast out. And he says in Matthew chapter 11, come unto me, all you labor and heavy laden. He wants us to come to him. He will not beat us over the head. He wants us to make a choice. And when we do, his healing power is available to heal anyone. Anytime. Think of the crowds that were around him that day and how many people reached out and touched the hem of his garment. One woman. And it said there was multitudes of people around him. And they were just like the people in John chapter 2. They loved being around him because he did miracles, and they believed in him for that one reason. Because temporary fix, a temporary little feeling or healing for them. And then they'd say, bye-bye. Nice to see you. You know, when we say that knock on the door, the Lord doesn't come once and one time thing. We know when someone comes to our door and we say, come on in, and we welcome him in. And a lot of times, you know, when he's about to read, we say, man, it was nice to see him come, but it's nice to see him what? Go. And sometimes that's the same way with people with the Lord Jesus. But the Lord does not want to go. He wants to come in. He wants to abide with you and you with him. John chapter 15 and the song we were singing. And when you know that he's living within you, it gives you a tremendous encouragement, security, and assurance when we know. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, and then I'll shut it down. It says this, John, the same one who wrote John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31, to those who did not believe, he said, I'm writing these things that you might believe in the Son of God. And believe in you might have eternal life. Here he says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, these things I have written, this epistle unto you believers, I have written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Reading the Word of God will give you assurance. It'll settle your mind if you have already done what God asked you to do. God is someone who does not lie. It says twice, it's impossible for God to lie. And it says in Acts, when we come and we have repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, God will save you and you can never, ever be lost. And my friends, it doesn't matter if the Lord came tonight, you know where you're going to be. And I know that. I pray everyone here does. And you can know that tonight. When you settle it in your heart that you will commit your soul, your heart, your soul, your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Commit it. Say, Lord, come on in. I'm welcoming you. I love to have you in my life. I love for you to guide and direct me. I love for you to show me. I want you to allow the Spirit of God to work within me. I will not constrain him. I want him to work in my life. I want to develop spiritually. I want to show my love for you to others around me. And that's what God wants for everyone here. May the Lord bless the reading of his word and sharing. Let's close in prayer. Our Father, we thank thee so much for loving us. We thank thee so much for your goodness to us. We thank thee, Father, for your mercy and your grace. Your love that was demonstrated at Calvary. Help us, Father, to stop each day and to consider, to appreciate your love. Father, yes, we fall and we fumble and so often we get into sin. And Father, we just pray for strength that we would not do that. And Father, we confess those things before you. We name them. And we ask you to help us to depart from them. And Father, to keep our eyes fixed on you. Father, we pray for each individual here tonight. Men and women and children, we pray, Father, the Spirit of God would convict people who are not saved, if there are some here. Convict them of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment to come. And Father, we pray the Spirit of God would speak to us who are saved, that we too would want to live a life pleasing to you. And thy word says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. He or she that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Part us with thy blessings, we pray, for we ask it in the worthy name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.